Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. My name is Dave Charest, content manager here at Constant Contact. Today, I'm drinking an Angry Orchard hard cider. I'm joined by a great table full of guests. Again, to my left here is Mr.
I'm Brian Pinkham, and I'm a content developer here at Constant Contact, and I'm drinking a Blue Point Brewing Company toasted lager. It's pretty good. Just right. Pulled it out of the bucket.
Sounds fancy.
It's not bad.
I am Kristen Curtis, social media specialist, and I am also drinking an Angry Orchard.
All right. I'm Asher Collier. I'm a social media education developer, and I'm also drinking an Angry Orchard.
I'm Danielle Cormier, and I am the social media community manager, and I have an Angry Orchard as well.
Excellent. We're all on the cider kick this week. So a couple things we're going to talk about today, one of them being Facebook held a conference or press event or something in regards to what goes on in their news feed and some updates happening there with their algorithms, the algorithm formerly known as EdgeRank. If you don't know, the algorithm is basically based on how people interact with your posts to basically determine how or what ends up in your news feed as a business, but also on a user level, if you're interacting with your friends, so the people that you're interacting with most, you'll see more of that information. So it's not actually in chronological order. So they actually came out to explain some of the things, which they've actually been pretty quiet about, some of the things going on there. So we'll touch base on that. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about Shark Week and some cool things we've seen some of our customers doing to take advantage of the current event of Shark Week and use that in their marketing for some creative ways to get people and get some attention for their products, services, and their stores. So let's start off with the Facebook news feed. So as I mentioned, they have that algorithm that kind of determines what shows up in a user's news feed. And the cider's working. So there were a couple of things that came out of that. Danielle, you want to tell us about those two things?
Yeah, so they announced two minor changes, story bumping and last actor. So one of the big things that I just take away overall from this event was that they're going to be blogging about what the newsfeed algorithm is more in the future, and that they actually do tests to decide what works best. So they really do have your best interests at heart when they come when it comes to the newsfeed. The first new change is story bumping. So this is basically stories that sort of fall off the newsfeed that end up at the end that people don't scroll all the way down to. If they're getting a lot of engagement, they're going to bump them back up to the top of the newsfeed to give you another chance to really check out that post and see this popular thing that maybe you've missed.
Hmm. So do they know if you've missed it, though? That's because I've been noticing actually a lot lately that I keep seeing the same story all the time, like something that I've already seen, and like the next time I log in, it's there again. It's like, ugh.
I don't know. I think they do know when you scroll past it, but maybe it's not a perfect science.
Right, yeah.
I wonder how that'll work with, you know, for right now, like mobile and the desktop, right? Because a lot of times if I'm just in the middle of something, I'll just look on my phone, just kind of get through the time on Facebook, and then I'll be working on my computer, and I'll open up on Facebook. So maybe I don't know how they'll be sort of tracking that right away.
Because
I'd be interested to know how that applies, because usually on mobile, I'm kind of skimming through pretty quickly, whereas on the computer, just kind of have it up there, and whatever kind of updates, I'll take a look at it that way.
Well, if you're lucky, they might blog about it, and we'll find out, right?
No one knows for sure, but there is some debate that there might be a different algorithm for mobile and for your desktop, so...
Although it seems like they did have an image that really clarified everything, didn't they?
Oh, yes, a beautiful robot cartoon.
There's some snark in that comment. They put up this image that was like, here, this is what our algorithm is like. And we're like, huh? Didn't make much sense. So that's story bumping.
Yeah, so with story bumping, if you have an engaging post, it's going to live on longer. But if your post isn't that good of quality and no one's engaging with it, it's actually going to disappear faster. So it sort of just affects the time decay, which has always been a factor of EdgeRank.
And last actor.
So last actor is the last 50 interactions you've had on Facebook, you're going to see those posts from those people or those pages more often in your newsfeed. So you want to make sure that you're posting frequently to stay within the 50 interactions of all of your friends and fans and followers. So that's what that's going to be.
Cool. Kristen, you were saying you noticed there some folks have been noticing some increases in engagement and things like that due to these changes? Or?
Yeah, so it was actually due to the story bump. And according to Facebook, there was actually 5% more likes, comments, and shares on stories from your friends. Mm-hmm. There was actually an 8% boost in interactions from stories from pages, which is a great thing for small businesses and nonprofits who have business pages. Because if you are creating even, you know, an engaging post, then you may be shown to people who didn't see it initially. So it can be a very good thing. You just, again, like we always say, it has to be compelling and engaging content.
Yeah, cool. Well, so I guess that's a big takeaway from this. I mean, regardless of what the algorithm is and the science behind it or how they make their decisions, really the kind of same best practices
just be good.
Hold up, right? Yeah, just be good. Right? You still want to be doing things like what? Engaging posts, using photos, encouraging people to like and share and comment, that type of stuff. And
yeah, staying on topic with your brand and definitely keeping to a schedule. If you tend to forget and days slip by without posting on your Facebook, take one day of the week and just schedule out at least half of your posts, and that way you'll have something consistently there and you can stay within that last 50 interactions of your fans.
Very cool. Anything else to add on the Facebook news feed?
I think, like Danielle was saying, I think the biggest thing is that they're just opening up a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
I remember I was at the conference in Boston last year. Danielle, I think we were there at the FutureM conference, and there was a presentation from someone from Facebook, and gave a whole presentation, and we thought going into it they were going to talk a little bit more about news feed. By the end of it, they hadn't really provided much information, and it was the first time there were some business owners there that were kind of like, some of the comments and questions the guy would get were kind of hostile. Like,
yeah.
They were saying how like their engagement had just dropped and they didn't know why.
Yeah.
And that was around the time they announced like it was like 16% of your fans see these posts.
Yeah.
So I think, and it's still like, you know, you had to feel bad for this guy up there because it was kind of like they weren't being very open about it.
Right.
And it seems like now they're kind of opening it up a little bit. And maybe they'll be talking about things that have always been there, but now they're putting names on them and being a little more vocal about it, which I think it's really all people really want, just to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think this is actually another perfect time to just reiterate the importance of using these, you know, social channels, including Facebook, to really build your own list, a list that you own where you're not renting space on Facebook. You're actually getting folks from there to eventually take that next step and join your email list so that it's a property that you own and you have control over how you're communicating with them is really the big takeaway, I think, for me here. So let's talk about Shark Week. Ryan, tell us a little bit about Shark Week.
So, I don't know. I'm a pretty big Shark Week fan. I mean, I do my best to watch it. I look forward to it every year. I don't know. I'm a New England guy. I grew up on the ocean, so I'm always kind of into it. It kind of freaks me out, too. And so this yesterday, I saw this video from this yarn store in my city, Gloucester. And the guy's a part-time fisherman. And he was out. And apparently, he caught a small shark, a blue shark, while he was fishing. And he actually put like a scarf on the shark and this whole promotional video, and they just moved their location. And so it was like a great way to say, like, you know, he's saying, oh, it's scarf week at Coveted Yarn, but actually it's scarf week all the time, and by the way, we just moved our location, come check it out.
Very cool.
And I think their average video on the site where we shares, they usually get like 50 to 60 views, and they got upwards of almost like 400 views on this one.
That's
so
great.
It kind of shows the power of that. And then from there we saw a bunch of brands, and I think it's something we're seeing from larger brands. I know, Danielle, you saw some larger brands doing it as well. And I think it's people just really capitalizing on all that excitement around it and all the buzz, and just kind of think of more of a creative way to market their business than rather just the same stuff you're seeing all the time.
So a really cool idea to really just think about what's going on through current events and how you can kind of capitalize on that chatter and people, the excitement around those things. Anybody see Sharknado?
No.
I'm so intrigued. I haven't seen it yet either, but I'm just like, oh, come on, I got to see this thing. Sharknado. So we had, we'll include a link to the post that has some information on these Shark Week promotions here, but you'll definitely have to check out that video. And we've been told that the shark was returned to the ocean.
Right, yeah, and the shark was released right after, so don't be worried about anything like that. But the other cool thing was that, as we started to look into it, it wasn't just like they're like a retail store that can be fun and exciting, but we actually saw like a B2B that did something too. There was like a museum that did something. They just did a series of events around, you know, shark sort of topics, that sort of thing. The B2B is just like, just changing the language and like some of the images they use in their emails around and staying true to their brand and not being too outlandish with the stuff they're putting in there. Just being creative in the ways that they want to be, but still staying on topic to their brand as well, which I think is an important part of it.
Yeah, I think you can definitely stand out if you just have a little fun with social media, especially because you don't have to have just salesy messages that are really straightforward and they seem really professional. Like, enjoy yourself and like make something funny, and you'll have more engagement that way too.
The coolest posts I'd seen this week around Shark Week were the companies that got their employees involved. It's like a really good chance for you to do that behind the scenes stuff if you haven't done it before. Just have them do something funny or a video or something related to what's going on.
Great opportunity to just show the human element of your business, right? Make those connections, build those relationships.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember though is that a lot of people are doing it, so you have to make sure to be really creative and not just throw something up there because people are going to think, oh, they're just jumping in with everybody else. Like, you have to really be creative and follow along with your brand. Don't go something completely crazy out there because everybody's doing it.
Yeah,
so.
That's a great point. Yeah, and you don't want to just half-ass it. Exactly. Just to, if you make it look like you're just trying to ride the wave, so to speak, people smell that out and notice that. But if you do something fun and...
Yeah, but I think at the same time, I mean, I don't think you need to think of it like you have to come up with this huge campaign or do anything all that crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with the museum, it's just like they're planning events at their museum anyway. Why not plan some around shark-related stuff? And they had like a shark movie night. They always do a movie night, so this time they watched Finding Nemo. Obviously, they weren't going to have much Jaws. So it's like it could be small things like that that can kind of like engage your audience, and it's going to be a little bit more relevant to them. And I think that's really all it takes.
Yeah. I love this, the great white papers for your summer reading from business group here. This is really great. Feeding frenzy of citizen scientists. Yeah. So there's just really like just cool ways to really think of integrating that into the stuff that you're already doing to get kind of get some capitalize on that.
Yeah, of course there's the dangers of it as well. I mean, I think if you're trying to do it with every hot topic that people are talking about, I mean, we see brands kind of mess this up all the time where it's like a hot news story and they go on Twitter and try to make a joke that's just so inappropriate and like trying to be funny and engaging but really just not, you know, falling short and really hurting their brand that way. So I think you're just going to make good decisions about it. You know, avoid topics you think that are going to cause you any type of trouble, but something like Shark Week's light and kind of carefree. I don't think anyone's going to get mad about it, but then, you know, there's other things like that that you might want to avoid.
That's a great point, is just really thinking about the things that you are trying to use and capitalize on and making sure that they are appropriate for, one, the subject matter, and then, two, for your small business or your brand, so to speak. So, cool. Any other thoughts or tips from this week? Kristen, are you with us still?
I'm totally here.
I thought she might have gotten bitten by a shark there.
No.
Well, that's all we got for you this week. Thanks again for listening to the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable, and we'll catch you next week. Bye-bye now.